Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC here on ESPN Plus. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley and Stevie Nicol here in the studio. Later on, Julie Foudy will be here to discuss what was a landmark day in the history of women's soccer. But we kick things off in the Champions League. Chelsea taking on Lille today, and it will be a 2-0 win for Thomas Tuchel's side. No Romelu Lukaku. He'd be dropped to the bench. Havertz playing up front. He would make it 1-0 in the 8th minute. Christian Pulisic doubling the advantage of Chelsea in the second half. Nice finish for the American. Chelsea very much with the momentum then going into that second leg in France. For more on this, let's welcome in, shall we? Stuart Robson is here. But here's a mere support act today for Frank Leboeuf outside Stamford Bridge. Frank, you are the special guest of Chelsea today.
Yeah, I felt very honored to be here, invited by the chairman, Bruce Bulk, and happy to see my former team play against the French team, Lille. That was great. You know, I had the chance to also learn some stuff from my past, you know, at the museum. It was a great day. You know, I feel very honored to have been part of that team.
Where was your invite, Craig?
I have it on good authority. I have it in good authority that it'll be landing in a couple of days in the States.
Do you think
There's a little bit of a backlog at the moment.
Right, I see. Just so many people like in Celtic, everyone invited you. Frank, you're with the special Club World Cup today.
Yes, I wanted to pay a special tribute to our good friend Craig Burley with the plastic cup, as he called it. I checked it out. It's not in plastic. It's really in metal, and it means something big to the club, to the players, to the fans. So that's good. That's good enough for them. We all know what it represents in the world of football. But if a team will win it, is happy, it's fine. That's fine for everybody.
Nobody at Chelsea who's in the blacklist gets an invite.
No. And who's at the top of the blacklist?
Oh, I would suspect.
the naughty list.
I really want to go and anyway.
Let's talk about the game, Craig. 2-0.
Yeah, I think a fair result at least. I mean, Chelsea very professional. Great start. Lille then came back and played some good stuff. I would describe them, obviously, they're league title winners from last year, lost the manager, struggling this year in Ligue 1. I would describe them as a tidy team. They're tidy in possession, they pass it well, they try and play, but they're really, at this moment in time, lightweight up front. And I never felt they were really going to trouble Mendy. And Chelsea could have had, you know, because the game's not dead at 2-0 going to France, they could have been doing maybe getting that third or fourth that you might have said the play would have deserved. But I think not a surprising result, bearing in mind the season that Lille have had. And interesting, you know, we're looking at the Lille team. The interesting thing was, obviously, the big story, and you boys talked about it yesterday, Lukaku.
Yes.
You know, no surprise, really.
Yeah.
You know, why am I... we've all knocked at managers' doors, I presume, if you're not getting a game.
Okay.
You're dropped, you're given the arrest, whatever it is, but how the hell do you do that?
Yeah.
Off the back of... So he had no comeback when he left them out, basically.
No, of course not. What's the vibe around Lukaku at Stamford Bridge, Frank?
Well, people believed, and I was with some people from Chelsea TV, that the three at front already played, you know, Pulisic, Havertz, and Ziyech, and they are in a good form and good enough to trouble the Lille defense. And it doesn't really matter. In fact, they want Chelsea to have results, and it's what all matters. And who plays, they don't really care as long as the team is good enough and effective and win games.
Obviously, Robbo, they've got the Carabao Cup final this weekend. The fact that he didn't play a single minute today, does that suggest he certainly won't start against Liverpool?
I don't think he will, because Havertz came in and I thought played well, particularly in the first half. He made some good runs. He got on the end of a couple of crosses. He scored his goal as well. He had a couple of other shots on goal. So Lukaku's just not playing well enough at the moment. He's not touching the ball. They're not getting it into him. He's not making the right runs to receive it. So although I'm not a big, big fan of Havertz, I thought he was good today and deserves to stay in the team. Timo Werner came on. I don't think he's done quite well enough. So Ziyech got injured, so they might have to change one or two things. But the team that they put out today was good enough to be a very good Lille side.
Maybe they're resting him, Stevie, for the weekend.
I wouldn't think so. I think his only chance is those knocks that the front guys picked up.
Right.
Because, listen, we're nearly in March. You're going to have to stop changing all the time. I can't remember the last time they had a settled team. And I believe that the team he put out tonight, I think he believes, certainly the front line, is the best they've got right now.
Right.
And so you have to play them in the cup final. You have to play this front three. And you have to leave them. And you have to let them get together and get some form together. And you have to get the team settled down. And forget about whether Lukaku or anybody else might be feeling sorry for themselves. As Frank said, they don't care at Chelsea. It's about winning.
Yeah.
And that's the truth at the end of the day. It's about winning the game. And if you play Lukaku for any other reason than somebody being injured, then you're not doing the right thing for the club.
That makes sense, Craig?
You can't play in a cup final that's going to be 8 days after such an abysmal performance. It just can't happen. Especially not after, unless, as Stevie said, they've got all these bumps and knocks and there's fitness issues. But there's just no way in the world that he can, that the manager tried to, and he actually probably made it worse by his press conference.
Yes.
Not laughing. But he's trying to sort of shield him a little bit, but it's impossible. Those stats are just impossible to shield. There's no way. There's no way in the world a professional player, we talked about this on Saturday on the show, Stevie and I were talking earlier, you could run about, somebody could make a bet with you that you couldn't have 4 or 5 or 6 touches, and you could run about and try and avoid it and probably end up having those touches.
Right.
So there's no way in the world that he's going to play. And I tell you what, maybe it's better for Chelsea to have a more mobile front line that moves around a little bit more rather than a big solid striker that whoever plays, be it Konate or Matip and Van Dijk, will just face up to.
Right.
I think the fact that Chelsea might have a bit more movement there gives the Liverpool back line a wee bit more to think about. So I would be surprised if it's anything other than what we saw today.
Let's talk about the players who did play today in a little more detail. Frank, how impressed were you with Christian Pulisic?
He had a very good game, and I enjoyed the fact that he worked on what he had to do on his first function as a forward player, but also worked, you know, defensively. I saw him after an hour running after, I think, Sanchez and tackling him and doing everything. It was really what we expect, you know, Captain America doing his best offensively and replacing himself, you know, when he was losing the ball. So he did the job like the three at the back. It's still, for me, not enough. I think overall that Chelsea was effective, was professional, but let's say that nowadays you have to bury the fact that we can have a little bit of craziness. You know, I think the players and coaches want everything to be perfect, so they calculate a lot. But overall, Pulisic did the job, everybody did the job, and they deserve to win.
Took his goal well.
He did take his goal well. And the one criticism, and the only criticism certainly I've got about Pulisic, is that final piece.
Right.
Because when he's on his game, he scares the life out of defenders with his pace. He's so direct, he runs them. I mean, there's not that many players in world football today who actually run at anybody. It's all pass, pass, pass. And so when he's on his game, he really is a nightmare for any team. I don't care what team it is in the country. But he has to get more consistent
right.
with his final pass and his final decision. And if he does that, then it will be Christian Pulisic and 10 others. That's the possibility of him being that good is there.
Well,
but he's got to get the consistency, though. That's what's missing.
Do you agree?
I'm not sure I'm going to go Christian Pulisic and 10 others. But, I mean, I think if he has end product...
I'll tell you what, let me put it a different way. You know the greatest players, the best players? Although they're going at full pelt, 100 miles an hour, we talk about the game slows down for them.
Right.
And that's why they can make a better final pass and a better final decision. So the bit for me that he's missing is when the game slows down for them, because now you're not sure whether the pass or the decision is going to be the right one. It's too inconsistent. I'm just saying, if he can get that part, you don't want him running at you, Craig. You don't.
No. I think if he can add the end product, he's going to take away this angst that he's going to be the one to be left out.
Right.
He's going to be the scapegoat. He's going to be the guy. And we've seen people moaning about it. Oh, why is he getting moved possession? Why is he getting done this? If he can cement consistent performances with end product, then the chances of him getting shunted around or put on the bench, apart from the odd rest, are slim.
Right.
But it's up to him. And, you know, this has been, the last couple of games in particular, have been a starting point. And that goal is going to be a big help. So, yeah, and obviously in that front three, with that pace and that movement that I talked about, then that kind of fits in. So it's like everything else, down to the player.
Frank, obviously the first live game you've seen for a while at Stamford Bridge. What struck you in particular that maybe you don't pick up watching it from home?
Well, it's always better when you are around the stadium and watch the game because you feel the atmosphere and everything. I feel that I'm sorry, people are singing a song that I don't recognize, but whatever. Yeah, go on, guys, go on, you know, come on.
Frank has paid those people to sing, by the way, just to make sure that he still remembers.
Nah, they're very nice people. No, they're quite old, but they remember me. You know, the thing is, it's always nice because you can pick the pace of the game, and it's why I'm quite disappointed with that, because I was expecting more craziness, because it's a Champions League game I was really expecting more pace during that game, where, again, they calculate everything, they make sure they're perfect, so it slows down the game and the atmosphere goes with it. And sometimes it was too silent for me, even if I'm very pleased that I could follow that game from the stand.
Wow, saying the fans quiet.
Fans are quiet.
Quiet fans.
He's trying his best. The fans don't get behind the team.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. Robert, I bet you wish that you were there. I remember an FA Cup final outside of Wembley where you were mobbed by fans.
Yes, yeah, that was an interesting one that day. And so fortunately, Frank hasn't had the same sort of adulation that I had that day from those 50 Arsenal fans. But just go back quickly to the game. I saw one outstanding performance. Conte was absolutely magnificent in midfield. He produced run after run. He looked like the player that destroyed Real Madrid last season. He was brilliant.
Good stuff, guys. As always, thank you very much, Franco. We'll let you go. Just a reminder, then, the Carabao Cup final is this Sunday. Chelsea taking on Liverpool. And it's a match you can see live on ESPN Plus, coverage starting at 11 a.m. Eastern.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Elsewhere, it finished Villarreal 1, Juventus 1 in Spain. It was a flying start for the visitors. Vlahovic with a beautiful finish to make it 1-0 within the opening minute. Dani Parejo will get an equaliser in the second half. All to play for then in that second leg in Turin. 1-1 fair, Robbo?
I think so in the end. I think Juventus started off the game well, obviously with the goal. Vlahovic with a brilliant strike ball over the top. And they tried to do that for the first 10-15 minutes. Every time they won the ball back, they went long in behind Villarreal, who the two centre-halves aren't the quickest players. And the system worked well for Juventus. They played with a back five, they played with a midfield four. Morata was playing on the left-hand side and tried to join in with the front. But for some reason, he changed that at half-time and just went for a flat five, three in midfield and two up front. So it meant the full-backs got more time on the ball. And Villarreal, in the second half, as they so often do, dominated possession without really looking like scoring too many goals. And then Parejo makes that forward run. Three centre-halves were about a yard apart. They didn't see the run of Parejo. Good finish. A draw, just about a fair result, I would say.
How good was the finish from Vlahovic?
Brilliant. I mean, he just looks as if he's so comfortable going into Juventus, that step up from Fiorentina. He doesn't seem like somebody who's only 21. It was just a brilliant finish. The way he took it so early as well. I mean, he's just a handful, isn't he? He's got everything. He's got pace, he's big, he's strong. He's obviously a good goal scorer. And he's got a long career ahead of him. So, yeah, I mean, it's a great bit of business from Juventus. But I wouldn't say I think this tie is certainly still in the balance.
Very much so. Very much all to play for.
Yeah.
I know you're impressed with Vlahovic, not only his finishing, but his contribution overall, Steve.
I mean, his work rate is incredible. I know he's a young man, but he's holding the ball up. He was bringing people in. He was running the channels when he needed to. He had another shot that the goalie did well to stop. We had three defenders around him, and he somehow managed to get that shot off and get it on target. And so, really, I would suggest that he's probably the reason why you would go for Juventus.
Right.
Because he's if you look at both sides, there was one guy that stood out, and that was Vlahovic. And so, if you've got the man who stands out, then you've got to go with him.
A bit of a head-scratcher how Juventus ended this game with 11 players on the pitch. So Rabiot looked like he should have got a straight red, Robbo. VAR obviously disagreed.
Yeah, I mean, when you first saw it, you couldn't quite see what happened. He got a yellow card. The players surrounded the referee. There was a lot of controversy, a bit of pushing and shoving. But when you saw the replay, he went over the top of the ball by quite a long way. He caught Chukwueze on the knee, or just above the knee. And the referee was not told by VAR to go and have a look at it. I couldn't believe it. I was waiting for it to happen. We've all seen the replay, waiting for the ref to go to the side. It never happened. How he stayed on the pitch, I do not know.
Of course, just before that, Villarreal getting the equaliser, Stevie, I know you're impressed with Juventus' defending.
Well, to be honest, it was one man, particularly De Ligt. I mean, the guy's not a novice anymore. He's been round long enough. He should have more experience. And you talk about playing with blinkers on. He got pulled out from the middle. And the one thing, if you're playing against a decent team and decent players, when you leave a hole, the man on the ball will spot it and you'll encourage somebody else to run into that hole.
Right.
And that's just as simple as it got. De Ligt running out, chasing the opposition out the box, leaves the hole, Parejo. Timed his run well, great ball in and a beautiful finish. But it could so been avoided with just better reading of the game, which you would expect from some De Ligt.
Who you got going through, Robbo?
I still think Juventus, and as Stevie said, they've got more firepower. I think, obviously, with Vlahovic, with Morata, if he plays well and plays up front with Vlahovic and combines well, they've got crosses coming into the box. In the return game, I think Juventus will just win it, but it's going to be tight, that's for sure.
Just a reminder, as always, the boys stay late to answer your questions on Extra Time. You can check that out every single day over on our YouTube channel. Just go to ESPNFC. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. On Wednesday, it's Atletico Madrid against Manchester United, the first leg in Madrid. Robbo, for maybe some fans who haven't seen much of Atleti this season, they go into this tie maybe nervous, knowing what to expect from Atleti, but they've been a mere shadow of themselves considering the success they've had over recent years.
Absolutely. They've been disorganised at times. They haven't been good defensively. The manager's not quite sure or the best players or the best system. He's still got another couple of problems going into the game. One of their better players, Carrasco, is suspended for the game. So that's a major blow for him. You look at Luis Suarez, he's not the player he was. Yes, he scored a great goal against Osasuna at the weekend, but he's not the player he was. He can't run in behind very often these days. João Felix, a great young player, but doesn't seem to have found his best form under Simeone. They've been all over the place this season. They've lacked invention, they've lacked creativity, but more, what's been worse, they've lacked that defensive stability. And it's a game that Manchester United should look forward to.
Yeah, if there's any time you want to face Atletico Madrid, now's the time, isn't it?
Yeah, but as you said, I mean, look, Man United have got enough problems to worry about themselves in terms of their own supporters, their team selection, their performances, although it was better against Leeds, but we know Leeds are struggling. But a win's a win. But they'll be thinking, oh, this horrible Atleti side, oh, horrible. No, as you know. No, this season they've been easy to play against. Their team selection has been hugely inconsistent. Robbo mentioned João Félix. He was back in at the weekend for the Osasuna game and scored. Correa's in and out. The back four's been all over the shop with changes. Obviously, Trippier's going to Newcastle. Mm-hmm. Vasalico's been in, he's been out. So you can get at that. Basically, United can get at this Atleti side. But this shouldn't say Atleti v Man United. It should say Jekyll versus Hyde.
Yeah.
Because we just don't know which. Both of these teams are Jekyll and Hyde. We just don't know. But a good opportunity for Man United, particularly the way Atleti are playing.
That's a lovely way to sum it up, isn't it? Jekyll versus Hyde.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, well done. How do you see this one, Stevie?
Well, when the draw was made, I had Atletico.
Right.
But since then, I can't find a way of sticking with that prediction, because for all the reasons that both the lads have said, going forward, they haven't been at their best.
Yeah.
And defensively, they've been a complete and utter shambles. So you can say all you want about Man United struggling defensively as well, letting some goals in. Not as many as Atletico. And they have a goalkeeper who's absolutely in form in De Gea. So the difference is that Manchester United going forward, right now, in my opinion, have better players. And that's going to be the difference in the tie. So I'm going to change and go with Manchester United.
Well, we know Atleti's record over recent years has been brilliant in the Champions League. United, meanwhile, struggling, of course, in the knockout stages. Cristiano Ronaldo likes to play against Atletico Madrid, though. Good record against them, Robbo. You starting for this tie?
Yes, I think you do. I think he's going to play up front. I think Fernandes will play in behind him. The question mark will be the wide areas. Sancho will probably play on the left. It will be Alanga on the right. But Cristiano Ronaldo, if crosses come into the box and Manchester United have enough of the play and they get in the top third of the field, he's always going to be a threat. And against an Atleti side that aren't anywhere near as good defensively as they normally are. So I think you play him, and I think he might well score a goal.
And Sancho started to show up a little bit as well.
Yeah, he had a good game against Leeds, didn't he?
He's been better in the last 2-3 games. But he just hadn't shown up at all, had he? So that's been a bonus for Rani. I thought the big bonus for him was, look, they played decent. Half-time comes, then they crumple.
Yep.
And in the space
standard
of a minute, that's been standard. But what's been standard for them is then they haven't responded. At least they responded. OK, Leeds allow you to play, and they play an open game, and their squad was hit by injuries as well. But they still had to respond. It was horrible conditions. Good atmosphere at Elland Road for that tie between two clubs that are, there's no love lost. And at least they got a response. And you got Fred coming on, scoring an excellent goal, and they got the job done. So that's a big bonus for them. It was interesting that it was Lindelof and Maguire at the back. Mm-hmm. Maguire with the captain's armband. There was a lot of talk during the week about some disharmony there. That was put to bed, certainly short term. And as you said, when this draw was made, everybody thought Atleti, because we were just waiting on them at that point, kickstarting the season.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened. It hasn't happened. So, actually, I don't think both coaches will be looking at it and thinking, this is a good tie for us.
Who have you got?
I've just got Man United, just, because I think Atleti have been very poor this year.
What about you, Robbo?
Yeah, I go with Manchester United, same as Craig. Atleti have been poor this year. They're not sure what team selection. I've looked at 4 or 5 different team selections, and it's all over the place for what people are saying is going to be the team. So Manchester United for me.
The defence of Atleti's title, of course, over in La Liga. Their focus now very much on booking a place in the top four. The action continues this weekend on ESPN+. Let's take you through all the fixtures. As always, it starts on Friday. Levante in action against Elche. Saturday sees Atleti take on Celta Vigo. Preceding that, it's Rayo against Real Madrid. And then on Sunday, Barca take on Athletic Club. All of these games available on ESPN+. Now, I mentioned this at the top of the show. What a day for the US women. Confirmation that their class action suit has been settled. $24 million is the total settlement payout. The US women players will now receive equal pay to their male counterparts, but the settlement is contingent on new collective bargaining agreement. which is ratified, of course, by the US women's national team. That's what Megan Rapinoe had to say about today's decision. With a settlement of the working conditions and this settlement, which is contingent upon a CBA, they will have equal pay going forward. There's no other way to look at this than just a monumental win for women's sports and women's soccer in particular. For more on this, Julie Fowdy joins us. Julie, what a momentous day.
I'm giving a cheer all the way here in Frisco, Texas for it. Yes, it's been a day that's long been coming, though, Dan. And it's nice to see, honestly, because it's been so much work for so many different generations. I mean, back in our day, we were fighting for equitable pay. And now this team, as they should have been, we're fighting for equal pay. And now, honestly, you can take all the energy that was expended on that fight, which can be very draining for both sides and all sides, and push it to growing the game and playing soccer and talking about football and all the things we want to be doing. But it is a great day for the women, for sure.
Now, this is obviously contingent on the CBA agreement being agreed. How far are we off from that happening?
Yeah, it's a good point, because obviously they still have to hash out the one big component, which they've all talked about, which is that FIFA prize money. And the fact that FIFA won't equalize it means that the men and the women have been charged by U.S. Soccer to come together to equalize it. And I will say, for the very first time, I have felt a sense of optimism from all three sides, U.S. Soccer, the men's PA, and the women's PA, meaning Players Association, toward this. So everyone is optimistic that they can get it done actually before the women's CBA expires, which is the end of March. So this whole next month of March is going to be crazy negotiations. In fact, there was a player during the press conference today, Crystal Dunn, who wasn't present because she was at the moment having negotiations with U.S. Soccer about the CBA. So they're going to have some work to hash out, but it looks like everyone's in agreement that they can get there. And I think that's a big step forward, because that has not been the case in the past.
Yeah, I've got a lot of positive news then coming out. Let's talk about what's happening on the pitch, Julie. Of course, we're right in the middle at the moment of the She Believes Cup. Massive game coming up for the US women tomorrow against Iceland.
Yeah, and really a game where you saw it's obviously a younger team. Vlad Kondonovsky, the head coach, has said, hey, we want to make this transition now. Obviously, veterans will come back in and they'll be layered back in, but he needs to see the younger players. Struggled in the first game of the She Believes Cup against Czech Republic in that they didn't score 0-0. A lot of dominance and possession, no goals. So that put them in a position with the win against New Zealand that they only have 4 points, though. Iceland sitting on 6. So the U.S. actually has to come out and get a win. Iceland can just sit in and draw. But I think the U.S. will shape up well against this team. I think Iceland is a very good team. They punch above their weight, as we've seen on the men's side as well, for how small a country they are. But I think the U.S. should be in a position to win the She Believes Cup with a win against Iceland tomorrow night.
And do you have to put up with Seb again, Julie?
I do. I don't even get any extra pay for that. I don't know how I didn't work that into my contract.
Yeah, you need that with your next negotiation. Julie Fowdy, as always, great to have you with us. Just a reminder, that game then is live tomorrow on ESPN2 with coverage starting at 9 p.m. Eastern. A lot more, by the way, on today's settlement. Be sure to check out Football America's 7 Hurt Breaking It Down. The latest show drops on Thursday on ESPN+.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C-E-bikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Actually, in the Championship on Tuesday, West Brom lost 2-1 against Middlesbrough, meaning they drop out of the top 10. Borough up to 6th in the table. Meanwhile, Forest can imagine a 0-0 draw. They remain 9th. Meanwhile, of course, there's Premier League action on Wednesday, as well as the Champions League games at Anfield. It's Liverpool taking on Leeds. Stevie, looking at this, it's difficult to see anything but a Liverpool win, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't come up with a real argument why they're not going to win the game. Particularly when you look at what happened to Leeds at the weekend against Man United. Not only have you got the emotion of such a big game, you've got the emotion of being 2-2, coming back to 2-2 and then losing 2 goals, losing 4 at home. You've got the physicality of the game because of the weather conditions, heavy rain, water, horrible wind.
Yeah.
Injuries, they picked up a couple of injuries as well. I mean, there is absolutely no reason that they should get anything from this game. Other than there's a reason we play the games.
Yep.
It's not just on paper, it looks an absolute certainty. So,
well, Norwich did, and it was harder work than it should have been.
Yeah, it's true.
So
you had to throw the cavalry on in the end against Norwich. It was
even if Liverpool are as bad as they've been this season, they should still win this game. I can't think of any reason why they won't. No?
I think they're going to do it and put that bit of pressure on Man City.
That's it. We are done for the day. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Be sure to stay tuned, though. We're going back to Stamford Bridge. Frank LaBeouf back with us for extra time, as is Stuart Robson, Craig and Stevie, of course, as well. So be sure to stay with us. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Stuart Robson with us, Frank LaBeouf outside Stamford Bridge, Stevie Nicol and Craig Burley here in the studio. First question is for Craig. As a Chelsea legend, when are you visiting Stamford Bridge to get a feel for the Club World Cup trophy, just like Frank did today?
Well, I have to wait on the invite.
Do you think the invite is imminent?
Well, bearing in mind, in the 25 years since I left there, I have never had an invite.
Right.
I would imagine.
Jesus.
I'm not.
Hey, maybe.
Well, you know.
No wonder.
Maybe I could curry favour back in. You know, I don't know. Maybe I could worm my way back in.
Frank, you were invited by the club, yeah? And what, you did a Q&A afterwards? What was the question that most people were asking you?
Well, it was mostly what I thought about the game. We talked about Craig a little bit, and I tried to defend him, but
wow.
It was hard to, I have to say, it was very hard. But no, people...
He didn't try that hard.
I think people, because Chelsea fans are very smart, people understood the meaning of his reflection on the Club World Cup, you know. Of course, it's not... You know, something we as players we look for, but it's important for the fans, it's important for the club, and it's important for the player. That's enough.
What's interesting is that you think out of everyone, Craig maybe with most hated, but in fact, Robbo is. You were banned from the Emirates, weren't you, Robbo?
Right, actually, I need to sort that out.
I was banned from the Emirates because of my comments about Arsene Wenger, I think. So when we were invited, or I was told to go and do a piece to camera just outside the ground. You have to get permission, and I wasn't allowed permission to go in there. Having been on Arsenal TV for 7 or 8 years and, being player of the year on a couple of occasions, I wasn't allowed to go near the ground.
Fantastic.
A bit like Craig, really.
Oh, I love it.
Right, we need to get a thinking hat on.
How are you going to get banned from Stamford Bridge?
So, Robbo,
you got to get it back on top.
Again, just when I thought I'd up my game, I'm going to have to up it again.
A question for Robbo. Which one of the following players should leave Chelsea before the next season? Lukaku, Pulisic or Werner?
I would say two of those players would need to leave Chelsea to get back to their best. Timo Werner and Lukaku. If you was picking one out, I'd say it was Timo Werner. Lukaku might get a second wind. And get another chance, maybe.
Frank, did you manage to have that conversation with Lukaku that you wanted?
No, unfortunately not. I didn't see any players. Yesterday I went on the field and I saw the Lille players having the training session, but not the Chelsea players. I would have loved to because, again, I love him and I wish him the best, but I didn't have that chance.
Frank, which club wants to win the Carabao Cup final more this weekend, Chelsea or Liverpool?
Well, I don't know. I think both of them want to win that, but I think there are more pressure on Liverpool because Chelsea already won a fantastic trophy lately, and I'm sure Liverpool needs to win something. So far, they didn't win the Champions League. They are one of the contenders for the Premier League, but they're still far away from Manchester City. So they have to win something. It's not the same pressure for Chelsea. Even I'm sure everybody is craving for that trophy again.
What do you think, Stevie?
I don't think it means more to any one more than the other.
Who needs it more then?
Well, Klopp doesn't need it.
Right.
Tuchel.
Yeah.
Tuchel needs it because Liverpool at this moment in time are still in the championship race. Chelsea are not.
Yeah.
Right, they're not. And I know it's done the rounds, this World Club Championship, but it is effectively a couple of glorified friendlies. Now, you're not going to dine, you're not going to save your job, and I'm not suggesting he's getting sacked, but you're not going to, at the end game at Chelsea, you're not going to turn around to Abramovich and say, we delivered the Club World Cup.
Right.
It's domestic trophies, Premier League, and obviously the Champions League. So he needs silverware more, success more than Jurgen Klopp, who is under no pressure. Well, I say no pressure. He's not under any immediate pressure whatsoever at Liverpool.
I mean, if they don't win the Carabao Cup and they finish in the top four, it's not going to make any difference to his position this year.
Who?
I mean, I got that the wrong way around. If they win the Carabao Cup and don't get in the top four, then regardless of winning the Carabao Cup, he'll get the sack anyway.
Right.
And if they don't win the Carabao Cup and they finish in the top four, then he'll still have his job, I think, at the end of this year.
Yeah.
Stevie, if you were the Liverpool manager, who would be in the starting front three for Liverpool this Sunday?
Ooh. Well, Firmino's out because he's injured.
Right.
So I think you have to go with Mane, Jota and Salah.
Yeah.
I don't believe, as good as Diaz has been,
he'll stick.
I think you're going to upset Jota if you play Diaz before Jota. And at the end of the day, there's a lot of things you've got to throw on. And sometimes it's just the right thing to do. So I think that front three, and it's not exactly harming it too much.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he has to play Jota. I'll start Jota over Diaz.
We saw this weekend, the videos of abuse that were hurled at Foden and Pickford at the boxing. What was it like back in the day, Craig? Could you go shopping on the high street, eat out with family, without abuse because of your team affiliation?
No.
You couldn't?
No. I mean, I didn't.
Well, was it most intense, I imagine, in Glasgow, was it?
Yeah, not physical.
Right.
Apart from the guy who hit me over the head with a bottle.
Oh.
That's a different story.
that was Stevie.
Physical about that, yeah.
No, but that was
a Chelsea fan. That wasn't a Celtic or a Rangers fan.
Who hit you over the head with a bottle?
Ah. It were the boys. I won't go into details. The boys were out.
Right.
And late one night.
Okay.
It wasn't actually. I wasn't involved in an incident, but I copped for it.
Right.
Anyway, when I've been with a family, I haven't had physical altercations like that. But there's certainly a lot of verbal ones.
Right.
Yeah. Whether you've got.
You have to be conscious about where you go, I imagine, like what time of day and things like that. No. Yeah, you have to be smart about it.
Not too bad, as long as you're. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, the Foden stuff. I mean, the Pickford stuff is just verbals.
Right.
That's all it's been.
Yeah.
The Foden stuff got a bit nasty.
Yes.
That was a lot nastier.
Yes.
So I've not had that with the family, no.
Stevie?
Never a problem in Liverpool.
Right.
But kind of always went to the same places. You know, didn't venture too far. But the only place I couldn't go was Manchester.
Right.
Just a complete no-no.
You can go shopping there, can do anything there.
Could do anything in Liverpool.
Right.
Liverpool, As you know, Liverpool Everton fans are get on fine.
Right, but Manchester's a different
level. Manchester,
yeah,
different ball game. Stay well clear.
What about you, Frank?
No, I didn't have any problem. I mean, I was the captain of Marseille, and I know that if you don't win a game, you know, it's hard to be in the city and talk to the people because they can get very upset with you. But no, it's been fine. You know, we had some results, so it was okay. And I live in Paris now, and again, I was the captain of Chelsea, of Marseille, and I never had any problem, you know. Some insults at some point, but it goes, and that's fine by me. But never had any problem physically.
Yeah, winning a World Cup, I imagine. Home. Is there anywhere that you can go, Robert, where you aren't abused?
Do you know what, Dan? I was never abused. Whenever I went out, whenever I went shopping or anything, never abused, apart from once when I was in a bar. And a lot of Tottenham fans gathered around and started to hurl a bit of abuse. They were worse for wear. And I made a swift exit, a very good exit as well. And that's about it.
Finally, is there a chance one day to see a Craig and Stevie podcast, like the Gavin Jules podcast?
Well, who's going to see this? You and me.
You go.
Not a chance.
Why not? It'd be great. People would love it.
We're not.
We just don't have the time.
Just have the time. Stevie's complaining he's got to get up at 9:30 tomorrow morning.
9. No, 8:30. 8:30, the latest.
Oh, dear.
Not a chance, right?
No.
Well, you know, never really anything.
What if you get some more dough for it?
What time do you want?
There you go.
Yeah. Oops.
That's it. Frank, what are you doing for the rest of the evening now? What's it, 11 o'clock in England?
Well, I'm going back to my hotel and I'm going to go into my bed because it was a long day, but it was a great
no,
very
not.
Nice day, and I have to go back to France.
Yeah,
because tomorrow I work with you guys.
Yeah.
You're going to go back to your hotel and you're going to start singing Frank LaBeouf songs.
Yes, change into your Chelsea kit and off you go. You're
going to get the cloth out, get the old Duraglit on the heat, get it shined up. For
just make sure you tell people you're friends with me.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm going to ignore what he was saying.
I will, for sure, Craig. Don't worry.
What about you, Robert? What about you the rest of the night?
Bye-bye.
As Frank said, it's 11 o'clock. Time to go to bed. You know, I've got an early start tomorrow. But if they
early start,
that...
Robbo?
Yeah, if they did
take
have
you
that
a bit
podcast...
6 hours to get that gear off.
I tell you what, it's blooming warm in here. I should turn the heating down.
I bet, yes.
Mind you, if they had that podcast, Dan, as you were talking about, it wouldn't be about football, would it? It'd be about golf.
Well, yeah, and lots of other things, I'm sure, which wouldn't be
I'm not suggesting what it would be about.
Yes.
Football, hey.
That is it. Thank you very much, everyone. Hey. Thank you, Frank, for staying late for us. ESPN FC back on your screen tomorrow. I'll be reflecting on United against Atletico.